But for those soldiers and sailors that have gone before us, I just wanted to take a moment, just have a moment of silence, and then I'll have our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for those that have given us this freedom, that we can be here without fear of retribution or without fear of punishment. We know those that there are many people around the world that still assemble in order to learn about you, Lord, and be part of your church that don't have that freedom. So we honor those that have died for that. And we thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, it is a family Sunday, so the children will be in here with us today. So, with that said, I do have something for the kids as far as that I wanted to get them involved. So, if I could have all the kids come on up. Pretty much from fifth grade down will work. All right. Come on, Grayson. You can come up. Come on. Got it? All right, well, one of the most well-known songs that is around in the Christian community anyways is Jesus Loves Me, right? Pretty much everybody knows that. Teachers, Christian teachers and parents teach their kids from as soon as they can speak, Jesus Loves Me, right? Even maybe before. So, would y'all like to help me? Sing Jesus Loves Me. All right? And y'all can, there's a insert in your bulletin that also has all the verses. But we're just going to do the first verse, main verse in the chorus. So, all right? Okay, so you gotta sing loud. All right? No microphones. All right? And you guys can join in too, so go ahead. All right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Thank you all very much. Appreciate that. They all did a great job, didn't they? Now, I knew there were like maybe one or two other verses to that, but when I was sitting there looking at the song and everything and kind of trying to find the song, I came across there's a lot of different versions and a lot of different verses. But the most well-known ones are in your bulletin. And there's a total of five of them. And the second verse is, Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Years ago, a large Atlanta church was televising the service where they had asked a retired 92-year-old minister to come in and preach from the pulpit. There was a warm welcome as he introduced as applause quieted down, the old man rose from his high back chair and walked slowly with great effort to the podium. Without a note or written paper of any kind, he placed both hands on the pulpit and steadied himself, and then quietly and slowly he began to speak. When I was asked to come here today and talk to you, your preacher asked me to tell you what was the greatest lesson I ever learned in my 50-odd years of preaching. I thought about it for a few days and boiled it down to just one thing that made the most difference in my life and sustained me through all my trials. The one thing that I could always rely on when tears and heartbreak and pain and fear and sorrow paralyzed me. The only thing that would comfort was this verse. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. When he finished, the church was so quiet you could actually hear his footsteps as he shuffled back to his chair. Jesus loves me is one of the most popular Christian songs ever written. The song relays a simple message that we all need to hear. In the song, we learn of Jesus' love. He loves us even though we are weak. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us. All through the Bible are scriptures of his love. In Galatians 2:20, Paul wrote, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle John wrote, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Revelation 1:5. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. John 15:9-14. We learn that Jesus' love is unconditional. In 2 Peter 3:9, where we learn that his want is that none should perish. And in order to do that, he gave us the most precious gift he could give. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Today we're going to look at a passage in Romans that not only shows how much Jesus loves us, but his love should affect our lives also. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Tomorrow, we remember those in uniform that died for our country. These brave men and women gave their lives for us to be able to have the freedom we have today. They made an oath to defend the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We remember their courage and their sacrifice with a federal holiday. Their sacrifice is not forgotten because they gave their lives for what they considered good people as a whole in our country. But how many would give their lives for the enemy that they were fighting? This is exactly what Jesus did. He did it for all of us, for you, for me, for everyone on this earth. We have a problem, and that problem is sin. Sin causes a barrier between God and us. Sin makes us His enemy. Because of sin, we are separated from God, never to be with Him. And that is what is so amazing about what Jesus did for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He sacrificed Himself for us, who were His enemies. That's unconditional love. Jesus didn't wait for us to know Him. He paid our debt before we even knew Him. Knowing that Jesus loves us that much is what the gospel is about. Jesus isn't a security measure. He's not just one way to be able to spend eternity with God. He's the only way. He is the one who loves us so much that He gave His life for you and I long before we were here. He sacrificed and shed His blood when we could not have cared less about Him. That is love. That is God. And that is who we live for. Jesus' love for you is all you need to know and understand to come to Him. This love that will never leave you. From knowing this love, you can have a relationship with Jesus. Tony Campolo recalled working at a Christian junior high camp. One of the campers, a boy with spastic paralysis, was the object of heartless ridicule. When he would ask a question, the boys would answer him in a halting, mimicking way. One night, his cabin group chose him to lead devotion for the whole camp. Just one more way of having fun at his expense. Unashamedly, the spastic boy stood up, and in his strained, slurred manner, each word coming with enormous effort, he simply said, "Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus." That was all. Campolo said that conviction fell across those junior hires. Many began to cry. Revival gripped the camp. Years afterward, Campolo says he still meets men in the ministry who came to Christ because of that testimony. Knowing how much Jesus loves us should affect our lives. Accepting Him as our Lord and Savior should change us. We need to get to know Him better. Knowing Jesus loves us and what He did for us is all we need to know at the beginning. But if that is all we know years down the road, how have we matured? In one version of the song, the old minister, he said it. "We" is substituted for "they." This is a good illustration that it's not someone else that is weak. We all are. Sometimes because we are weak, we forget Jesus loves others that we don't. We can misunderstand Jesus and think, "He loves only me." And because we are weak, we can also misunderstand Jesus by thinking that Jesus loves on our terms. A church secretary I read about used to answer the phone by saying, "Jesus loves you, Sharon speaking, how may I help you?" One day she was deep in conversation and the phone rang and she answered it, "Jesus speaking, Sharon loves you. How may I help you?" There was a pause on the other end of the phone. And then the voice on the other end of the phone says, "Somehow I thought your voice would be different." There are people who, when they hear some of the teachings out of the Bible, don't like what they hear. They think Jesus should sound different. And so they try to accept the Jesus they want while rejecting the Jesus they don't like. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to pick and choose with Jesus. If you want the Jesus that the Bible says loves you, you have to take the rest of the package. So we need to read God's Word. It's not enough just to come and listen to a preacher or teacher on Sunday, on Wednesday, every day of the week. You have to know what is in His Word. We have to know that for ourselves. There are plenty of scriptures that talk about false teachers. How can you tell if it's false or true if you never open His Word? And knowing the truth about who God is helps us to know Him better and to know His love for us and to know how to love Him. The beginning of Romans 5 shows us that we are also to rejoice in good and the bad. And why? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have a peace with God when we know Him. I mean, that's pretty amazing that just by knowing God, we can have peace with Him. I mean, let's see, we're enemies, and then we're at peace with Him. The thing is, though, we did nothing to deserve it. In fact, we actually deserve to be separated from God through all eternity. We were enemies of God in sin, and then through Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, we are at peace with God. Peter writes, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. We are healed from our sin and seen as righteous, and we did nothing for it. There is nothing we can ever do to earn our way to be at peace with God. All we can do is accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is something to rejoice about. We are called to rejoice in the suffering also. Why? Because it gives us hope. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, this hope isn't in the sense of, you know, I hope for this, I hope for that, right? This hope is an understanding of what's to come, a knowing of what's to come. Our hope is that through Christ, we get to have an eternal relationship with God. Paul also writes, since you have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more have we been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Again, we go from enemies to salvation, all through Jesus. Now this love, this peace, this hope I've been talking about isn't just to learn about, smile, and walk away. It's real. It's here. And it should affect your life in all areas. The Bible has things that we should do as Christians and things that we shouldn't do, such as sexual immorality. Don't do it. Having an idol. Don't do it. Gossip. Don't do it. Slander. Don't do it. Loving your neighbor. Do that. Loving your enemy. Yeah, we got to do that too. Living your life for Jesus. Definitely, definitely do. The thing is, this list is not a rule list for the sake of a rules list. These are all things that are for our best interest. They shouldn't be done out of a feeling of obligation, but out of love for Jesus. We do it because we love Him. In the same way, we should be affected as a church. Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus wants the church to stand out. If we don't look any different than the world, then how will they see us? I'll give you a hint. They won't. Or they'll see a bunch of hypocrites. Why is that? Because if we look like the world, yet we say we're not supposed to look like the world, that's the very example of a hypocrite. Loving one another is not enough, though. Jesus gives us a command right before that. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." So it's not enough to love one another, but we are told to do it as Jesus loves us. Unconditionally. That isn't to say we aren't supposed to hold each other accountable and let ourselves be held accountable. That's a key point. Ourselves accountable also. Jesus is going to hold us all accountable and hold the disciples accountable as well. But we are to do it out of love for each other and in a loving way in order that we may mature in our faith. I recently read the true story of a woman, or story by a woman named Phyllis W. Zeno. She wrote, "One day a beautiful but very troubled little girl came through the door of my day nursery. From the very beginning I became captivated by this child who had so little but needed so much. I was heartbroken that a four-year-old could suffer such heartache and pain. She was born in prison after her mom had used marijuana, crack, and cocaine her entire pregnancy. The little girl was nonverbal and had very little control. I knew her progress would be a mighty battle. Whenever someone approached her, she became violent for long periods and ended up in a fetal position on the floor crying out. I found myself praying for her day in and day out. As months rolled on, I began to bond with this child that no one wanted. She and I worked very hard, one step forward and four steps back. Daily, we sat in the big rocking chair in my office, swaying back and forth, back and forth. During our rocking time, I sang 'Jesus Loves Me.' She always settled down and became very still at the melody. Though she never spoke, peace seemed to fill her face as she listened to the song. One day, after a very long battle, I held my special girl to again calm her fears and pain. In silence, we rocked, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then she looked at me with tear-filled eyes and spoke for the first time. 'Tell me again about the man who loves me.' Jesus' love is real. It's real for you. It's real for me. It's available to all. We're going to have an invitation song. And while we do that, I'll be back behind the doors. We'll have an elder back in the back, and then there's a prayer bench also back there. But if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His love is waiting for you. It doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy road. But it does mean that He never leaves. He's always there. And He always loves you.